Our text for this morning is the book of Romans, chapter 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. These words of Martin Luther capture for us the tension that a right understanding of Christian freedom brings to the lives of God's people. These words are a masterful summary of what we mean when we talk about Christian freedom. Christian freedom is about how the gospel, that free forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ, has freed you from all man-made ceremonies. It is a freedom from any attempt to coerce you into following certain man-made rules in order to attain the eternal life promised by Jesus Christ. As a Christian, as a member of the one holy Christian and apostolic church, you are not subject to nor burdened by these things. The Old Testament ceremonial laws governed many aspects of the lives of God's people, Israel. There were rituals to follow in order to be considered clean. There were certain foods which were forbidden. For example, we read in Leviticus, "These you shall not eat among those that chew the cud, or those that have cloven hooves, the camel, the hare, and the swine. They are unclean to you. All in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination." These and many other regulations were given to the people of Israel through Moses. But in the New Testament, through the coming of Jesus Christ, these laws and ceremonies no longer applied. In other words, it is not a violation of God's law for you to eat the flesh of swine today. The prohibition against it is no longer in effect. But other ceremonies and regulations keep being created by people, ceremonies which they believe you must follow in order to be considered a good Christian. What do you do when you are with people who are followers of these man-made rules? Or to put it another way, how will you act when you are with someone who might be hurt by your display of your freedom in front of them? Here we need to make a distinction between two kinds of people, one who is a teacher and one who is a disciple. If the person you are with is a teacher in the church and his teaching is binding consciences to some man-made law instead of the free gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are to revel in your freedom in order to shame that false teacher. There you need to make a confession against the tyranny of the law. However, and this will be the case most of the time, if that person you are with is not a teacher of the church, but merely someone who might be caught in false teaching or who doesn't understand what is right, in other words, if this is someone who is a weak brother in the faith, then you will act differently. There is a difference between a false teacher, a wolf in sheep's clothing, and one of the flock, one of the sheep. Luther described this second group this way in his writing on Christian freedom. He said, there's this other class whom a Christian will meet who are simple-minded, ignorant men, weak in the faith, as the apostle calls them, who cannot yet grasp the liberty of faith, even if they were willing to do so. These you're to take care not to offend. You're to yield to their weakness until they are more fully instructed. Since they do and think as they do, not because they are stubbornly wicked, but only because their faith is weak, the fasts and other things which they consider necessary should be observed to avoid giving them offense. This is the command of love, which would harm no one, but would serve all men. It is not by their fault that they are weak, but it's the fault of their pastors who've taken them captive with the snares of their traditions and have wickedly used these traditions as rods with which to beat them. This is really the aspect of Christian freedom that St. Paul is addressing in the part of Romans we've heard today. That's where he said, I'm convinced there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. And this is the part that Luther addresses in that little quotation I had at the start of the sermon, that second part where he said, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. You are, when you are with this kind of person, the servant of that person, subject to him. And so you live in such a way at that time so as not to harm that person's weak faith. You will accommodate it for that time. Christian freedom is really about learning what it means to grow in maturity in the Christian faith while at the same time living with those who are still struggling with a more adolescent faith. It is a time for patience, for charity, for self-sacrifice, for the good of your brother or sister in the faith. It is not a time, usually, for an in-your-face, defiant act of Christian freedom. In fact, such an action on your part may reveal you are not as mature in your faith as you imagine. There is much here for us all to ponder in regards to how we deal with each other, as professors with students, as students with other students, as mature Christians with weak Christians. But no matter where our status with others here may be, we have a common status before the Lord. We are all sinners in need of the mercy of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to be born of the Virgin Mary, who overcame the sharpness of death for us all, and opened the kingdom of heaven for us, that kingdom which Paul says is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. May we, by the grace of God, believe his holy word and live godly lives here in time, and hereafter in eternity. Amen.